for joining us for another Directions Media podcast. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor of Directions Magazine. Today I'm joined by Paul Bissett, the CTO and co-founder of WeOGeo, and we're going to be exploring the WeOGeo technology and its vision in our discussion today. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, let's start out with the basics. What is WeOGeo?
WeOGeo is a marketplace exchange mechanism by which buyers and sellers of geo content can communicate to each other by virtue of commerce.
Okay, so this is really more of a business sort of solution, a business-to-business kind of solution than
That's correct.
The other things that are out there. You suggested to me that one of the reasons that you headed down this path of putting together such a marketplace was that the current model for geo data just isn't working.
It's tough today. If you're a content provider, most of your content, most of your contracts run through point of sale, meaning that you either answer an RFP or you're negotiating directly with a single channel in a vertical. So you get a lot of niche specialization where the mapping skills don't translate across the horizontals in the market. So, for example, somebody who's doing demographic surveys, while they may have the mapping skills to do other types of surveys or mapping elements, have no access to the markets with which to sell those skills into.
Okay, so this is basically going to broaden that their marketplace for where they can sell off their data and their skills.
That's correct.
The other part of this, too, has to come down to people finding the data that they're interested in or that they want to purchase.
There's a couple things going on. One is most of search today, or geo-search for content, is still text-based. The discovery of geodata is still really difficult. If you go to Google and type maps in a particular area, you're inundated with responses. And even if you use Google Search's new KML search, you still don't get information products or content. We ran into this a lot. You know, we were spun out of a nonprofit research institute called the Florida Environmental Research Institute, and we would do these massive imaging projects where our hyperspectral data streams needed to be combined with either in situ measurements or ground-based measurements or some sort of other type of mapping, and it was very difficult for us to find those mapping products with which to fuse our hyperspectral imagery to create a value-added product for our customer. And so the whole process of discovery is one that is in its nascent beginnings, I guess, on the web. There's good text-based discovery, but geographic content discovery is something that's problematic at the moment.
You really created this solution to deal with a problem that you were running into in your own work.
Oh, absolutely. We had multiple levels of problems. The first is this discovery. You know, we couldn't find what was out there. And the second is what was out there that we could find, it was difficult to get. There was no good way to reach through to somebody's server or to somebody's archives and pull that out in a file format or in some sort of digital representation that we could meld with our own stuff. At the same time, people that were requesting our data sets, our hyperspectral data sets, had those same issues. One, they couldn't discover what we had in our archives, and there was no reaching into our own stuff and allowing them to pull it out to create their own value-added products. You know, separate for a moment the business aspects and the time-consuming aspects of discovery from the technology of just trying to enable that discovery, customization, and delivery. And what we had done for the hyperspectral systems were to create a automated process of delivery or discovery, customization, delivery of our hyperspectral maps that took the man out of the loop. So rather than burning hundreds of DVDs every time we got a data request, somebody could reach into our archives, see what we had, customize that to their own thin net client delivery mechanisms, and then pull it down such that we weren't burning personnel time trying to service their request. By melding that into a greater community effort to establish commerce, what we're hoping to do and looking forward to do is transitioning that technology to a larger realm where map providers can either host maps directly on our site, which is built on Amazon Web Services, which is totally scalable, or host it on their own local sites, but using our front-end processes through a network appliance to allow people to see what they have, to discover what is in their archives, and reach in there, customize a unique product to them, and then have it delivered to them in a seamless, easy approach, which reduces the friction of finding data and acquiring it.
Well, great. That gives us a chance to really look at the solution. And what I'd like you to do maybe is walk us through this if you were somebody looking to buy some data, and then maybe look at the other side of if you were somebody who had data or had some skills and how they might take advantage of WeoGeo.
So if you're looking for data, you're a user of our site, you would go to our market location, which is just www.weogeo.com. And the first panel of a five-panel walkthrough of the system is just where are you in the world? And we've designed an interface that allows somebody to quickly look at the world, look at a region, and then drill down on that region very quickly to say, that's where I'm interested.
Okay, so once the user's got their geography and they've zoomed in, then you're sort of taking advantage of this whole set of different resources, geography resources associated with that geography.
Once you've zoomed in and said, that's the area that I'm interested in, we then roll over to another panel that takes that geographic bound or bounds and shows you, well, in the database associated with those geographic bounds, fairly easy query, here are the available data sets. Now we do some slick things in doing map ranking, which is basically the appropriateness just from the scale issues of the map in the region that you're looking at that ranks those maps. But we have some advanced search features, which is continuing to be under active development, that helps the user coming in to say, well, okay, here's the area that I'm interested in, but now you've got thousands of maps in that area. How do I sort through that really quickly to get the most appropriate map for what I'm looking for? You then get to step through each of the maps and look at their spatial extent back on panel two. Once you think you've got, okay, that's what I'm looking for, here's a name, here's a provider, got multiple columns that you could put up there on your four-column list, including price and other ways to segment these maps. You roll over to panel four to get a quick look of it, including all of the metadata and the description as the provider has written it for you to see, including links to other data sets or other metadata. And the base metadata that's being shown on the page are all things that can be stripped out of FGDC-compliant metadata files. We can further look at that map by clicking on a KML link, which will open it up in your favorite 3D viewer, to see the extent and a low-resolution shot of that data in relation to any other data sets that you have that are also embedded in any sort of KML link. So it's another way for the provider to provide marketing materials for their data set, as well as the user to see, well, okay, this data set does fit in the bounds that I'm looking for. Once you've said, okay, panel four, this is the data set that I'm interested in, and you want to further customize that data, you roll over to panel five. And panel five is a WYSIWYG window, or what you see is what you get window. And for raster data currently, not yet for vector data, but it's coming here shortly, you can move that zoom window to the area of interest within that map. And if the provider has allowed for geoclipping and scaling of the cost as a function of geoclipping, the user now is able to say, well, I just need this little piece of this map in this corner over this street above this gas station. And so my price would be reflected not just by the whole data set now, but by a piece of that data set. And furthermore, I can scale through various customization options like resolution or file format or projection. And once I've made all of my customization selections, I get a price calculated. Once the user has made their selection, they click on to panel six and make an order, and off they go.
Sounds like if you use the system and you know enough about what it is you're looking for, you can get exactly what you want and start to use it immediately after it's delivered. I said delivered, but it isn't actually delivered, right? You have to go and claim it?
You do have to claim it, and that depends on how the provider wants to use our services. We have two ways to deliver that data, or two mechanisms by which that data is delivered to the user. The first is we run simply a listing service, and all this is automated. So as soon as the user makes an order, the order is then sent to the seller and says, hey, you have a user who's requesting this piece of your map. Please provide this over some time limit. The user gets an automated email when this is accomplished and then can download that data product. Alternatively, the provider can just give us the data to host and say, look, all I want is a check. Just sell this as many times as it can be sold and just send me money. In which case, we handle all the hosting and customization of the data ourselves and deliver that to the user when those processes are done.
Let's look at it on the flip side, and let's say I'm a GIS data creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some savvy as well. So how am I going to take advantage of WeoGeo?
If you're a creator of content, if you're an individual, so let's start there, and you're dealing with mapping products one at a time, we have a whole provider upload wizard and management functionality that walks you through the steps of putting a map and managing that map on our website. The last thing is a license to go with that content. And this is an important component of what we're trying to accomplish. We want people to not just make money from creating geo content, but we want the content stack to become more valuable in time. In order to do that, you have to provide people the abilities to buy data for a use, and preferably a commercial use because it's a B2B site. Create a derivative work with that product, and then hopefully resell that product. And in doing so, in the resell of that product, you create a royalty stream for the base map provider. It's exactly what you had paid for that original purchase. And so as the content stack of an individual maps becomes more and more rich because people are bringing it down, adding to it, putting it back up, everybody gets a slice of the pie that gets paid. Your slice of the pie depends exactly on what you think your value-added contribution to that pie was. We'll let the market decide whether that was a valuable addition or not. And in that way, everybody's protected with their IP and their base product, and they're paid. So the advantage for the provider is if you're doing good products and people like what you're doing and building on top of it, you actually create a sales force for your product because people are adding stuff to it and reselling it for you. In effect, you create a pyramid with your own stuff at the bottom that goes off in many, many different directions, allowing you to generate revenues from people you never had access to before.
That's sort of changing how we look at data. I think one of the challenges we've had in our industry is that we sort of look at vector data as, you know, background or for routing, and we look at imagery as pretty pictures for background, but we haven't really taken full advantage of what can come based off of those.
Yes, I think we are just scratching the tip of the iceberg on what we can get from rich geocontent.
Okay, so now comes a big challenge. WeoGeo is a startup, and
mm-hmm.
as we're speaking, you're in beta and heading out soon?
At the end of the month. There's one part of our approach that we didn't really touch upon, but is already being sold now, and that's the WeoGeo server. It's an appliance that takes all of that infrastructure for archiving, discovery, and customization and delivery for an individual organization. You know, what we found for some organizations was that they weren't really interested in the market so much as just the technology to deal with the library functions of their own discovery process in their organizations. We actually have one up at Oregon State University. We've got several more orders that are going to go out here shortly. We've got one, obviously, up at Ferry. Deliveries through the next month. But what that does is it provides the institution now who has terabytes of mapping products that say, hey, look, I can't push this up to Amazon. I don't have time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the effort, and I really don't need it at the moment. This allows them to have all of the discovery processes that we have on the marketplace. And if in the future they choose to say, well, let's try to monetize our assets, I can hit this one button and all of those listings get put up to the market. The market then knows how to talk to these servers for handling the data request. And it provides us the abilities to unleash the archives that we know are out there and all those institutional mapping providers, those enterprises that have been doing this for years. And I think that we make something special. I mean, at least that's where we've been trying to go with it.
Let's sum up the top three reasons that our listeners should go and check out WeOGeo.
The top reason is it's a discovery of geo content. You know, how can we do this in a better format? The next is, how do we unleash content in such a way that we can create value-added products that everybody participates in the revenue stream? And lastly, by doing this, we in effect create a mechanism by which our entire field can grow larger. A small market becomes a large market when you have more intersections between the market participants and the world in general.
Paul, we appreciate your time. We encourage our listeners to visit weogeo.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for the time.
And we'll see you on the next Directions Media podcast. Be sure to tell a friend.